I am a resident here in Caledonia. And, yeah, I do have a few comments, but I wanted to start out with saying that, you know, your state legislators, all three of us, have been discussing this subject and working hard on it, trying to sell the idea in Madison. It's not an easy sell. But we took a blow the other day when we have an open board seat on Unified, and not one person from Caledonia signed up for that seat. That brings volumes in Madison. So shame on us all for not doing that. But somebody, Caledonia, should have signed up, even if they knew they weren't going to get the check. So the three of us, three local legislators, have all met with the village presidents, Kuhn-Bopp. The Mount Pleasant president was not there. He sent a delegate. I think he had some illness or death in the family or something like that. But we discussed what we need as legislators to help you. And the outcome from that conversation was that we would like to know the fiscal impact. The one requirement, what is the fiscal impact to the neighboring communities? Now, I represent several communities, including Caledonia. Robin obviously represents Mount Pleasant and many other communities. And Van has dozens of communities he represents. So we'd like to know what the actions of this village are going to cause tax-wise to the taxpayers in other communities. And that's all we've asked for. So however you get that answer, that's what we need. I'd like to talk about changing the law. This nice gentleman talked about changing the state law. I wrote a bill, which immediately was stopped by the Ledge Council. The language that we need to change in the state law is called anti-secession language. And that very same language, and I'm not a lawyer, I'm an engineer, so I'm going to have to give them a lot of credit for the lawyers that are up there in Madison. But that language is throughout state law. That very, very same language that we need to change and break away. That language is what keeps counties together. It keeps Burlington and Racine County, for example. It's the same language in those laws. It's the same language that keeps counties inside of the state of Wisconsin. So if you were at, let's say, for example, you lived in Kenosha. Kenosha County wanted to break away and become part of Illinois. I don't know anybody would want to do that. But if they did, it's the same language. The very same law exists there to block that movement without the state approving it. So for us to change the anti-secession language could cause a big hole in state law. So what we've been talking about is just writing a bill that says Caledonia and or Sturtevant who just pull away. The problem with that is it's unsellable. Many people I've talked to about it, they're really not interested. Other school districts, of course, are getting to their representatives and trying to block any ideas along their way. I mean, I guess you can see what's going on. There's 99 of us. There's a lot of other school districts involved. They don't want to see threats to their schools. So we can keep pushing down that road and try to write a bill that just a single bill that allows you guys out of the school district. I guess I would work as hard as you guys wanted me to on it, but I don't think it has a really great chance of passing, to be very honest with you. Although I would be willing to work on it. People have brought up to me, well, hell, we made exemptions for towns, for TIFs, and this kind of thing. Those are completely different kinds of subjects. So in Madison, we changed the law to allow one town or village to have a TIF outside of the normal parameters. That's economic development TIFs, and that has nothing to do with schools. So they're really not comparable subjects. I do want to add that in the budget this year, we're changing how the state law regulates choice schools. So I want to throw that out there one more time. The easiest way for Caledonia to have their own school system is to open a Caledonia choice school. And in the new state law, you universally don't need Unified's permission to do it. Now, it has good and bad. Some of the good is you have your own school. You have your own name on it. And you don't even need a high school. You can start out with a K-8 school. It's a good way of doing it. Good way of getting started. Good way of knowing how many population you're going to pull back in. The bad is the money goes to Unified and comes back to you. They get to keep $3,000 of it because that's the state aid formula. I want to bring up one more point. This gentleman talked about state aid. State aid is not a guaranteed amount of income to anybody. State aid is an annual amount of money given to school systems based on their poverty level, based on their economic impact. A lot of big formula. I went to DPI and I went to the Fiscal Bureau and asked them how much Caledonia alone would get in state aid. Their answer was virtually zero because of the economic impact in Caledonia versus Racine Unified. Actually, Racine Unified would benefit in state aid because of the ratios. Their state aid is up, ours would inversely go down. So, using state aid in our formula is, I think, maybe a mistake. So you'd have to have 1 year in under your belt, but that number would be dramatically reduced because of the economic situation of this area versus the city of Racine.
Any other questions?
So, Tom, just to clarify, you're saying you would get absolutely no state aid?
Yes, I didn't say no, but you'd get very little compared to what you're getting now. Okay? There are communities in the state that get zero state aid. Several. Okay. So you would fall in a richer category. Okay.
Any other questions? Yes, Ed.
When you approached them about the state aid, was that where you approached them and you said, you know, could you just take a quick look? Did they deliberate? Did they ask, or like, did they perform an actual study? Did they provide hard numbers to you? Or was it more of those anecdotal, well, it'd be basically nothing type of thing?
It was a conversation.
Okay, so it was a conversation, not a study. Okay.
Any other questions? Yes, Mr. Dobbs.
You mentioned the choice school idea, which sounded interesting, but that also would not get a lot of state funding in year two?
Choice school
basically how many kids come, they get a certain amount of dollars per head? Or
In the choice schools setup, the state aid formula would virtually be unaffected. So Unified would get the state aid portion. What would happen is they would get to keep about $3,000 a year, which is state aid per student. The rest of the tax money would come back to the choice school, which is about $7,000 a year for California, give or take a few bucks, which is more than Gateway charges per year for students.
Yeah.
It's much better for someone like you to do it, period. Then she can see it, period. But it also comes from someone else from the district that doesn't think it's just me and Brian, period. I really hate that shit.
Build multi-million-dollar buildings and start from scratch? Are there programs available for them to do such a thing?
I'm not aware of any programs, Ed. That's a very good question. But there is an empty school here in town that probably could revitalize.
You can clearly hear that it was him.
So thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Tom? Sorry. I'm ruling you back.
Okay.
She will be exposed.
Is the legislation about geographic representation of the Unified Works still moving forward?
Yes. Yeah. The numbered seats.
What was the question again?
He was asking about the numbered seats. Yeah.
Numbered seats and geographic.